Good morning. It's time now for the Tawas United Methodist Church service from Tawas City, here on the Bay's Best, WIOS.
Good morning. Welcome to the Tawas United Methodist Church. Before we begin our service, we're going to sing one short hymn. It's hymn 349 in your red hymnals. But that the hymnal only has the chorus portion. So this morning we're going to sing the verses. So the words will be on the screen for you. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, a life more abundant and free.
Coming up today, we'll have our regular youth program at 4 o'clock. Again, I like to share this every time, that this is for ages 10 and up. I do know that we have a few who are turning 10 this year. They're welcome. Friday, January 27th, we will have a movie night starting at 4 p.m. I know that we will be celebrating one of youth's birthday that day. And then on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, January the 18th, we're going to start a new ministry. It's called Breakfast Club. And it's really in partnership with our neighbors over here at the Alternative Education Center. They're going to, Pete Newman, who's one of the leaders over there, is going to bring over a group of children, young people. At first they said 10 to 12. That might be higher by now. But please pray for this. And I want to just say something about this. This Breakfast Club possibility has been on the prayer list of our Tuesday afternoon prayer group. I don't know, maybe over a year we've been praying about this. And I just happened to meet Pete one day and talked about it, and he was all in favor. Folks, these things don't just happen. God makes them happen. And so I ask you that you continue to pray for us, that this could be a fruitful ministry, that we can outreach to the youth of our community through this. And if you want to send some youth to this, we can't provide transportation, but please let our office know, because we'd like to know how many breakfasts we need to provide. Monday, January 16th, ladies Bible study at 11 and church council meeting at 7 p.m. Tuesday, January 17th, worship meeting at 1 p.m. and prayer ministry at 5 and handbell choir at 6:15. Wednesday, the Red Cross blood drive will go from noon till 5:45 p.m. and then the evening, normal evening schedule, sanctuary choir at 5:45 and pastor's book study at 7. Looking a little bit into the future, we have our chili cook-off and dessert bake-off. What a challenge. Every year this is an exciting event. Sign-up is in the gathering space if you'd like to sign up to make your brand of chili or special desserts. And we'd love to have a lot of people sign up, but if you don't want to sign up, that's okay. Just come and eat, all right? Just come and taste the food. It's a great time. That is Super Bowl Sunday, so let's give you something to do before you sit down and watch the Super Bowl. If you haven't been out to the information table yet, please notice this. It's got a blue square up in the left-hand corner. This is the Read Through the Bible in a Year schedule, or chart. And I encourage you to take one. We are a people of the book. If we're going to be a people of the book, we need to read the book. I have a dream. It's kind of a good weekend to sit down. I have a dream that 50 people in our congregation will read through the Bible in 2023. Think that's possible? I think it's possible. We had a few the last couple of years. We've had a few, 3, 4, 5. But 50 people in an organization that claims to be a people of the book. I think it's a great goal for us. So join me in doing that. With that, I'll turn it back over to Sean.
Let's stand and sing together. Hymn number 567, Heralds of Christ.
Bye. is calling us to peace. For God is not the author of confusion, but peace.
We join together to worship the Prince of Peace.
Let us pursue peace, building up one another.
We will pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord.
Let's join God's ministry of reconciliation.
He suffered for us. We can do what it takes to bring others to Christ. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated as we go to our time of prayer this morning. It's always a good idea to look in your bulletin. There's a list of people to pray for. Please remember the Deacon Hart family again as we pray for them. A little bit lower on the list, there's Kevin and Susie O'Dell. We've been praying for them, especially Kevin, who was very critical, and he was in need of double lung for bypass, which is impossible. He has passed. He passed about a week ago. So please remember Susie O'Dell in your prayer. Susie is the daughter of Ben. Ben attends our Saturday night service with Phyllis Bessie. Ben is wonderful age. You wouldn't know her unless you come Saturday night, so please keep them in prayer too. Let's begin with silent prayer and end together with the Lord's Prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you with grateful hearts. We come to you with a desire to worship in spirit and in truth. We come from whatever circumstances may be unique to each individual in our congregation, those who worship online, those who are at home unable to get out. We come to you and ask that your holy presence come. Fill us with your peace. Grant us grace and power to build each other up in love and peace. And we pray for peace, Father, your peace. Not the kind of peace the world gives, but your peace. We pray for it, that people may come to know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And there may be true peace in the people's hearts. Father, guide and direct us in our lives. Help us in our nation to bridge the gaps, especially of ethnic gaps. There are so many severe ethnic gaps in our nation. Help us to bridge those with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And grant, O God, that the leaders of our nation may govern in the fear of God, that they may actually read your word and tremble at it and realize that your word is true. We pray these things in Jesus' name. He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
children would come up, have the children's time together. The one guys, today we're talking about peacemakers. There's a Bible verse that says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Isn't that nice? Well, peace is a really important thing. Peace is called, when you think about peace, you might think about freedom from, you know, bad thoughts, bad feelings. If you don't have any bad thoughts or any bad feelings, then go have peace. That's the topic I'd like to talk about today. Freedom from upsetting thoughts. You might think of a time where you were upset or you were sad. If you have freedom from those kind of thoughts, feelings, then you have peace. Peace is a good thing. It is, isn't it? It's a very good thing. You might think of a peaceful place, a place where you can go and get peace. But I think of a peaceful place, I usually think of summertime, green grass, trees, maybe a river, maybe a lake, something like that. What do you think when you think about a place that's peaceful, that helps you think peaceful thoughts? Go ahead, you don't have to raise your hand today, just outside by a tree, reading a book. That's a very peaceful description. Yeah, did you have one? On summer vacation, is that with family, or is it a mountain, or by the lake, or it's by the lake? You feel peaceful there, don't you? Okay, yeah. But you know, sometimes, in fact, most of the time, we can't go to those peaceful places, can we? We're usually in a kind of a noisy area. There might be activities going on. We might have work to do. There might be people. Might be people, right? And maybe even the television is on and it's noisy. It's hard to be at peace. Well, there's something that happened that the Bible told us about and that you just recently celebrated. What did we celebrate at Christmas time? Yeah, Jesus Christ was born, and we had a little play up here on the stage, and we had a manger scene, and a manger with hay in it, and then Jesus was the baby who was born and put in the manger. And I don't know if you remember or not, but when Jesus was born, there was a bunch of angels that appeared. Remember that? A star in the sky, angels appeared, and then the angels said, okay, yeah. You're not. For unto you is born the Savior in the city of David, blah, 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 right? Okay. He said something else. Peace on earth. Peace on earth. For whoever his favor rests upon. Peace. Why do you think the angel said peace on earth when Jesus was born? Well, it's because what a great idea. That's right. Jesus can make peace. We try all kinds of ways to make peace, and we think we're working real hard, but a lot of times we just don't seem to think about asking Jesus to be part of that. Yes, Jesus is the one who brings peace. It teaches us that where Jesus is, there is peace. You can be by the lake, or you can be in a busy city and still have peace if Jesus is there. We talk about walking with Jesus or living with Jesus. You pretend you're holding Jesus' hand wherever you go. If you're at home, it's Jesus holding your hand. Where you're at, then you can be at peace. And then you can be a peacemaker if you take Jesus with you and introduce Jesus to friends. You can be a peacemaker. Is that nice? I hope that all of us can be peacemakers. Father, Thank you for sending peace. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to recognize that that's really the only place we're ever going to find peace, real peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, thank you. Can go now. We've got, there's Mrs. Kapper back there. Follow her.
Please stand and join me in singing. This is a part of our hymnal which we haven't yet explored. So this is a greeting and a goodbye, or both. We're just going to sing the Hebrew. So I'll go over some of the pronunciations. We're going to do this as an intro hymn to the scripture reading today, because it has to do with peace. And then we'll probably put it at the end of service for the next month, so we'll learn how to sing it together, because it's really nice when it's done in a round. So the choir's going to help us.
Shalom Havarim, Shalom Havarim, Shalom, Shalom. Lahit Raot, Lahit Raot, Shalom, Shalom.
Kings and all who are in high positions, so that they may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Jesus Christ, himself human. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you. We're speeding through the Beatitudes. Today we're going to talk about peacemakers. Very interesting word in Scripture. It's different from what you might consider a peacekeeper. I'll talk about those in just a minute. But peacemakers have the distinct quality of being called children of God. I like that. You know, we often talk about blessed are, and we give the blessed the characteristic of the person who's going to be blessed, and we say, what is the result, what is the reward of that being having that characteristic? But this one is that they will be called children of God. So you have to make peace to be called a children of God. We all make something. Everybody makes something. You know, in former years, and even now to this day, you'll find quite often children follow their parents in a profession or a line of work, maybe more so in former years when our nation was more agricultural. People lived out on the farms and oftentimes grew up on the farms and stayed on the farms and worked on the farms. I'll never forget when I was in another church, I asked the youth group how many of them wanted to continue working on their parents' farms, and in a group size of about 8 to 10, none of them. Not one of them wanted. They all wanted to go to the city. Well, that's a trend in our nation. It has been now for many decades. But still, I think you'll find among many parents, oh, wouldn't it be nice if our daughter, if our son were to follow in our footsteps and take on the family business, for example, or take on a profession that's similar to what mom or dad have done. So today we're talking about peacemakers. It's very important. the people who are peacemakers. Very important people, but actually, in our world, unfortunately, there's not enough of them. As I said, everybody makes something. And then I'm going to share some descriptions of the things people make in our world. For example, I'm just going to give you a list of makers. Like, the first one is a playmaker. I think any of you who like to watch sports, maybe basketball or baseball, maybe hockey, will know what a playmaker is. It's somebody who kind of leads the team's offense in designing an effort to score a goal. If you don't know what a playmaker is, certainly you'll know what a deal maker is. Our world goes around with deal makers. A deal maker is a person who's skilled at bringing business, commercial, or even political deals to a satisfactory conclusion. I think we need a lot of deal makers that would help our society out. And then there's newsmakers. Maybe even some of you are or have been newsmakers. I know, and throughout my life, I've met people who said, hey, I was on TV, or I got my name in the newspaper. Well, that's a newsmaker. A newsmaker is an event or a person who is newsworthy. And then, kingmakers. You know what a kingmaker is? A kingmaker is a person or a group that has great influence on a royal or political succession without themselves being viable candidates for the position. Kingmakers may use political, monetary, religious, even military means to influence who becomes the next leader. War makers. Someone who wages war. Kind of a trick question I asked last night, I think I'll ask it again today. Can a war maker be a peacemaker? Can a war maker be a peacemaker? Think about that a little bit. Disciple makers. We are commanded to be disciple makers in the scripture, but we're not really talking about that today. But a disciple maker is a Christian who enters into relationships with other people to help them trust and follow Jesus and learn to do the same for others. You're a disciple maker if you help Christians or anybody come to Christ and trust him, follow him, and lead others to do the same. That's what a disciple maker is. And then, of course, there's troublemakers. There's always a few of those, right? A troublemaker is a person who habitually causes difficulty or problems, especially by inciting others to defy those in authority. I don't know why everybody laughs at that one. And then I'd like to introduce one from my own academic study, memory makers. Memory makers. Actually, they're very influential people in society, but we don't talk about them. A memory maker is a person who aggressively promotes a non-factual or partially factual view of history or historical events in order to manipulate the collective memory of society. Did George Washington really chop down a cherry tree? Did Abraham Lincoln really chase somebody and give them some change they left at the store that was due to them? These are memories we all grew up with. And whether they're true or not really sure. They might be true, they might not be true, but they certainly do shine a bright light on American history. The day we live in today, it seems like very few people want to shine a bright light on American history. They want to shine a dim light on American history. The funny thing is, one of the most popular television producers, Disney, has a computer program called Memory Maker App. It's a photo package to help you make memories of your trips. And we always like to remember the past in positive tones. We try to do that. That's what a memory maker's job is like. But today we're talking about peacemakers. And a peacemaker, any one of those that I mentioned, can be a peacemaker, because a peacemaker deals with people, but regarding God. And to go a little bit closer to what a peacemaker really is, I'd like to contrast a peacemaker with a peacekeeper. They are different. A peacekeeper is one who tries to keep external peace. We hear about peacekeepers in the work of the United Nations. All around the world, we see the United Nations peacekeeping forces at work in various places at difficult times. And what do peacekeepers do? Well, they generally either reduce or try to reduce the number of casualties in conflict where there might be two groups or two nations in conflict with each other. Sometimes they'll try to put a buffer zone, a buffer between warring nations or factions. Peacekeeping tours of duty often result in great suffering. Sometimes the peacekeepers themselves suffer. Sometimes the peace is long-lasting, sometimes not so long-lasting. Peacekeeping can be a dangerous thing. But when I think in particularly of the Middle East, where people have been trying to keep peace, I don't think anyone has successfully tried to make peace over there, but they've tried to keep peace between different groups of people who don't like each other. So what peacekeeping does is it reduces the amount of conflict for a period of time. Peacemaking eliminates conflict altogether. We don't have an example of that in human history, except where God is involved. God is the peacemaker. Speaking again, continuing with peacekeeping, peacekeeping is often the work of an arbitrator. It may be when two people don't agree with each other, they don't get along with each other, and they need a legal arbitrator to come between them. Or two organizations can't seem to get along and they need an arbitrator to come in between them. Any way you look at it, peacekeeping is always temporary. It can be good, but it is temporary. A peacemaker is not so much concerned with the external, but with the internal. Peacemakers are concerned with the internal. Peacemakers work for eternal reconciliation with God. That's why Jesus could say, I leave peace with you. My peace is not the same kind of peace that the world gives. And so we see that in the scriptures. In the Bible, John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. Peace is needed to relieve people from the trouble that we're in. Trouble and fear are common to life. Maybe that's something we don't really want to think about. I know that in America, one of the greatest virtues people look for is happiness. Americans are always looking for ways to be happy. And there actually have been some foreigners who have done some studies on that and have asked a lot of questions to Americans. What makes you happy? What do you do to get happy? Why do you want to be happy? Those kind of questions. And they find that happiness is a value in our nation, but strangely, so few people seem to be actually happy. And that's because trouble and fear are common to human life. We know that because the Bible teaches us. Job chapter 5, verse 7 says, but human beings are born to trouble. It doesn't say we're born to happiness. We're born to trouble, just as the sparks fly upwards. Trouble is in our lives. It's there. But there is an antidote to trouble, and that is Christ's peace, the peace that he gives. With his peace, we will surprise even ourselves at how we handle the troubles of life. Some people live in the past. Some people live in the future. Some people live in the present. Which are you? Where do you live? Some people who live in the past are always reliving events and actions that they participated in or been experienced in their lives. And oftentimes, people who live in the past have a distorted view of reality. Sometimes they're even depressed. They can't get beyond something that happened in their lives. They're stuck in the past. On the other hand, people who live in the future, they're always hoping for maybe a fantasy, something that hasn't come true yet, something that they may think they deserve, something they think, well, maybe if I work for this, it'll come true. They live in the future. But they can never really grasp that future, so they may end up sad. How do you live in the present? Jesus told us, don't worry what you're going to eat, don't worry what you're going to wear. He was talking about living in the present. How do you live in the present? Because really, the present is where sanity is. The person who lives in the present, is not worried about the past or the future. They have something to hold on to that gives them security. And this something are the promises of God. I've shared this illustration before, and I'll share it again. There were a group of orphans at the end of World War II who were being cared for. And the people caring for them found that they couldn't sleep at night. They had so much trauma from the war, so much trauma from the experience that they'd been through, they couldn't sleep at night. So they tried everything. They tried giving them food just before they went to bed. They still couldn't sleep. Finally, they came up with an idea. Let's give each one of these children a piece of bread and tell them, don't eat it. Just hold on to it. And they were shocked to find that the kids slept very well. They knew that they would wake up and there would be something for them. It's a promise. That piece of bread was a promise that tomorrow would happen. They would have food to eat. As Christians, we can live in the present, holding on to heavenly bread, the promises of God. And that's how we can live in peace. Because Jesus is part of those promises. Jesus' forgiveness helps us be healed from the past as well as the future. And his promise of eternal life helps us to live each day trusting in him. Let's live in the present and hope in the promises of God, and then we'll be close to Jesus. That's the first step towards becoming a peacemaker. Now, there's a blessing attached to being a peacemaker. It's not mentioned with the other makers that I talked about earlier, so many of those makers. The blessing is they will be called children of God. Now, here we got to be very careful here. It's easy to walk out of church and say, well, I'm a child of God. Well, I must be a peacemaker. I'm okay. Pat myself on the back. It's not how it works. That's backwards logic, and backwards logic doesn't make sense. Forward logic means if I'm making peace. So ask ourselves. This is the convicting question that I have to ask myself, and I'd like to ask you to ask yourselves. Am I making peace on the earth? We are peacemakers if we point people to Jesus who died for us. That's it. That's what the Bible says is God's demonstration of love for us, and that is that he sent his son to die for us, and if we point people to this, it's a very simple message. Point people to this. Only one problem. Jesus is our example in this. He went to the cross. That wasn't a very peaceful event. If you follow Jesus, you read the events of his life in Scripture, you see there wasn't a whole lot of peace in his life. There was conflict. There was hunger. There was tiredness. There was weeping. Shortest verse in the whole Bible. Jesus wept. That doesn't sound very peaceful. How can Jesus be an example for us of a peacemaker if his life was filled with so much conflict? And in fact, next week we'll talk about being persecuted for Christ. That's not very peaceful. What is all this pointing to? We see all the lack of peace in our world and we think, we should be doing this, we should be doing this, we should be doing this, and we'll bring peace. But the more we do, the more we strategize, the less peace there is in the world. And we judge people. We think, oh, they should be doing this, they should not be doing that. They're harming the world. And very, very few people say, look to the cross. Look to Jesus dying on the cross and rising from the dead, and you'll have peace. Folks, that's it. It's not some generalization that kind of has that in the background. That's it. The cross. Jesus died for peace. Peace. What kind of peace? Not the kind of peace the world gives. Peace between you and God. Peace between me and God. If you have peace with God, then you'll be useful to make peace with other people, but not before then. So the designation of being called children of God tells us something. Well, of course, it tells us God is a peacemaker. Then also it tells us that we reflect God so much to other people that we'll be known as the children of God. And our actions will lead others to say, ha, that's a child of God. They are making peace. Unless, of course, their definition of peace is peacekeeping. Because if we're just peacekeepers in the world, that kind of peace is so temporary, people forget. But peace with God is eternal. So a peacemaker is a very unique brand of a person. Very unique. It's not just a polite person. It's not just a person who avoids arguments or avoids fights. No, a peacemaker is someone who brings people together with God. So we can look to Jesus as the model, and we can look to the cross as the bridge to heaven. It's as if there were two mountains, one mountain and another mountain, and a deep valley in between them, and there was no way across until the cross became a bridge. And on one mountain is God, and another mountain is you or me and people. And the only way to get to God, the only way to get to peace is to walk across the cross, to die to ourselves, to take up our cross daily, and to follow Christ. That's the unique brand of person the Bible's talking about. Look to Jesus as the model. Jesus created the opportunity for peace by dying on the cross, by rising from the grave. We are given the message of peace. Paul calls it the message of reconciliation. And this is who we are, if we'll accept it. We have the power of God. We have the power to ask God to give his peace to those who need it. So I'm going to say three things about God's peace that we can use to be peacemakers. First, the peace of God is internal. It's internal. You can't give it away unless it's first there. It's got to be in the heart. Am I at peace with God? One way to evaluate ourselves is to ask ourselves, when I sin, am I able to go to God and confess my sin quickly? Keep short account, keep short record with God? Father, I've sinned. Forgive me. Can I do that quickly? If I can do that quickly, that means there's some communication between me and God. If it's very difficult for me to do that, there may be a blockage. There might be a wall between me and God. That wall needs to be broken down. Typically, a wall is a stubborn heart. A hard heart, that's what Jesus referred to. Can I easily confess my sins to God? Another one. If someone criticizes you, if someone says something to hurt you, and whether they intended it or not, and your heart feels like a spear has just been plunged into it and it hurts, and you weep, maybe even you feel like it's hard to breathe, and you say, I've been hurt deeply. Can you forgive? When we forgive, that deep hurt is healed. That's where healing comes from, forgiving those who have hurt us. It may take time, yes. It may not be instantaneous. It may take time. But if you consistently forgive, as long as that idea keeps coming back, then it will be healed. There's forgiveness. See, peace is internal. It's internal because it's dealing with God. And then peace, God's peace, is not just internal, it's eternal. God's peace is eternal. Once you have it, you have it. It's a gift. You don't have to let it go. It's yours to keep forever. It's Jesus living in you. It's Jesus walking with you. It's not so much Jesus walking with you. It's Jesus leading you in the right way to walk. And that's eternal. That's a road that doesn't have any end. There's no tolls on that road. It's just walking with Jesus. And as Jesus walks, yes, there are difficult times, but he says, I'm with you. He says, I'm with you. Even in the difficult times, it doesn't mean it's all good feelings. It just means he's with you because he's the peace. He's more important even than our feelings. So God's peace is internal, it's eternal, but it's also transferable. We can transfer God's peace to others. And that's what a peacemaker does. That's the hard work of bringing people to Jesus. How do you do that? This is the hardest thing in the world to give advice on. Because there are very, very few experts in the whole world in all of history. To transfer the peace of God to another person requires taking up your cross daily and following Jesus. It requires spending time with the person who needs peace. Praying intercessory prayer for the person who needs peace. Sometimes allowing that person to criticize you to your face. Sometimes even allowing the person who doesn't have God's peace to harm you. That may be necessary. Jesus did that at the cross, didn't he? People spit on him. People mocked him. And the whole time, he was offering peace that could help them. Why were they doing that? We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. One of the main reasons Jesus was rejected was because the people, even though they were sincerely wrong. There was the Torah. We know the Torah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The first five books of the Bible is called the Torah, the law. That was the Old Testament. It wasn't the Old Testament. Jesus today, it was the book of God. People didn't read it. They had the Talmud. What's the Talmud? It's still available today. You can read the Talmud. Talmud is a commentary on the Torah. It's like a barbed wire fence around the Torah. You never get through it. You just read the Talmud. This is the commentary of rabbis throughout history. And if you read the Torah, you'll find so many rules and guidances and traditions to follow that you never actually get to the Torah. You're just in the Talmud all the time. It's a fence. It's a barbed wire fence that keeps people from the Word of God. That was the description given to me by a young Jewish man who became a Christian and was kicked out of his house for doing it. That doesn't sound very peaceful, does it? Friends, the person who gives their life to Jesus Christ should expect a very sincere and dedicated world to sometimes reject them. Because God has been rejected by every society throughout all of human history. And usually it's by very sincere people. The leaders of the Jews were sincere people who believed what they wrote and what others had wrote. Pontius Pilate looked Jesus in the face and he said, "What is truth?" Truth is God. And God has written a book of truth. And he's given that to us. What a blessing to have that book in our own language. We should read it. God's peace is an internal, eternal, transferable. The questions I'd like to close with today are, do you have it? Simple questions, okay? Do you have it? Do you have God's peace? I think it's a fair question. I ask myself this question regularly. I'm not criticizing someone who doesn't have it. This is God's invitation to the whole world, through all ages, through all times and all locations. Do you have it? Are you at peace with God? If you're not, God wants to give it to you. You know, there's a lot of things in this world that some of us don't have, and we may never have, and we may feel we're at a disadvantage. But this is one thing that's available to all people, and God says, do you have it? If you don't have it, don't fool yourself into thinking you have it. Do you want it? Second question, do you want it? Now, this is not to those who don't have only. This is to all of us. If you don't have peace, ask the Lord for it. If you do have peace, ask the Lord for it. Why? Same thing we learned a couple of weeks ago when we talked about blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The person who doesn't ask God for it and thinks, well, I've got it, I'm good, might be fooling themselves. Because the true blessed person pursues God, never coming to the place where they say, I'm good, I don't really need anymore. God's eternal. You can never get enough of God. Do you want it? If you want it, then you fulfill two. You want peace, and you are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And lastly, do you know someone who needs it? Usually, we don't have to look any farther than our own household for this one. Usually, there's someone in our own relationships or our own families who needs peace. We don't need to look down on them. Peace. Actually, what we do need to do is get down, humble ourselves, so they'll listen to us. I was just walking down the church hallway a couple of weeks ago, and two of the little girls from the Sunday school class were coming down the hall. And I just did what was natural to me. I kind of, squatted down real low, put my arms out. One of those little girls ran right up and hugged me. And I thought, well, isn't that interesting? She wouldn't have done that if I wouldn't have stood real tall. But I saw her. Put a book in my hand. She wouldn't have done that. People who need peace need for us to get down. Sometimes lower than them. And look up at them. Give them the love of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. My prayer for us this week, this year, is that we will be peacemakers. I want to be a peacemaker. I will leave it to you. Let's pray. Father, help us to be peacemakers. Like Jesus, who made peace through death and resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Ushers, will you please come for the morning offering?
Story of
to the nations that shall lift their hearts to the Lord. A song that shall conquer evil and shatter the spear and sword. And shatter the fear and sword. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday.
Praise.